Good morning, everyone. You're looking fantastic today. Guess we have a birthday today. Darren Puka, where are you? Darren. Happy birthday to Darren, wherever you are. We want to say happy birthday. Give him a hand. It's always good to have a birthday when you're at church, you know, serve God. It's good. It's good. Well, just a couple of things before we share the word of God with you today. We didn't have church news, but I wanted to just point out that all the Connect groups, if you're in a Connect group, we're going to have one massive social Connect group this Tuesday at 7 o'clock. Please bring a plate to share, and that will be amazing. Just don't stay home because it's going to be awesome. We're going to do some games. It's really just a time of connection for all of the Connect groups. So that will be fantastic if you can be here 7 o'clock. Another thing that I wanted to point out is that if you are serving, and we have our Volunteers Appreciation Dinner coming up on the 29th of November. It's going to be an 80s night. So if you are serving, please don't forget to RSVP because we need to prepare for the catering and everything like that. So that'll be good. Well, today, everyone say today, you are going to be doubly blessed. You know why? Because we have an amazing pastor that's going to share the word of you with God today. And that won't be me. But in saying that, we have one voice, one mind, one spirit that's going to share the word of God with you. So I want you to all stand up. Some of you have not heard this amazing person's going to speak to you this morning. And we want to welcome Pastor Cheryl on the stage.
So much pressure. After welcome, that's so much pressure. Well, take your seats. I want to welcome you this morning. Tony, at this stage, is probably in the middle of preaching in Devonport, Tasmania, for Pastor Mark von Blankensee, who is a great friend of our house, one of our very closest friends, and an amazing man of God that speaks into this house. So he's there speaking for him while Pastor Mark is in Israel. And so it's my privilege today to be able to speak to you this morning. So I'm really excited to see what God might want to do in our hearts and in our minds. And the last couple of weeks, Tony's started a new series called Miracles in the Making, or Miracle in the Making, Making Room for Miracles. I knew it had miracles in there, so. You know why? It's because I actually put Miracles in the Making on my notes. So we want to continue in that theme this morning, and I want to come to you this morning from a little bit of a different angle into this whole mindset of what we're talking about with miracles. Because when it comes to God doing something in your life or in my life, it all depends upon where you position yourself, how you position yourself and open yourself up for God to be able to do something. And we want God to move. Don't we? We want God to move. We want God to do something amazing in our midst. We want God to do something incredible in our lives. And I'm sure all of you would put your hand up if I said, who needs a miracle in their world, in their family, in their health, in their finances, no matter what it is. This is the season, and I really believe that this season of speaking, Tony, doing this series is very on point with what God wants to do within our lives and our church and within our own lives. So having said that, my sermon this morning is called To Obey is Better Than Sacrifice. So, and that's not to counteract what Brad just said about sacrifice because we're coming from a different angle here. So I want you to turn to 1 Samuel 15. 1 Samuel 15, and we'll pick the story up a little bit later. But I just want to give you a little bit of a background of the story before we get to our text. So this story is about two people. And it's about a prophet called Samuel, and it's about a king called Saul. So we have King Saul, and we have the prophet Samuel. And back in those days, what used to happen when God wanted to say something, he would say it through the prophets. And God spoke to Samuel and said, you need to go and tell the king that this is what I want him to do. I want him to go against the nation, the Amalekites of Amalek, the Amalekites, and I want him to totally and utterly destroy the nation. Absolutely everything, destroy it. Every single piece of it has to be destroyed. So that's what happens. So he goes to Saul. Samuel comes and says, this is what the Lord has said to me to tell you. And Saul's like, tell me, what is it? What is it? And Samuel says, this is what you're to do. You're to go against the nation of the Amalekites and you are to completely destroy them. You're to just utterly destroy absolutely everything to do with them. Everything. So King Saul, because King Saul was appointed by God, he was appointed by God to be king. So he goes out and he begins to put in place the plan of God. He walks in obedience and he goes. And it says later on in the scripture that he took 210,000 men. That's a lot of people. It's a lot of warriors. And they went out and they began to destroy the Amalekites. And I think it says that they destroyed them from Havilah down to Shur. So he was doing what God had put on him to do. But, everybody say but. It's awful when there's a but. But, there was a but. Along the way, something happened with Saul. Something happened with Saul as far as carrying out what God had put on his life. And so we find what happens is that Samuel goes to Saul and challenges him. And when he gets to Saul, Saul's like really happy and's like, oh, the prophet's here. And he's like, Samuel, guess what? I've been carrying out the Lord's promise. And the prophet Samuel says, what is this then that I hear? So he says, what is that I can hear? Is that sheep? Is that oxen that I can hear? Are they little lambs I can see running around the place? What's going on? So now we pick up our text in 1 Samuel 15, starting at verse 19. And Samuel says to Saul, why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and the things that you saw and do evil in the sight of the Lord? Verse 20, this is Saul. But I did obey the Lord, Saul said. I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites, but I brought back the king, King Agag. Verse 21, and the soldiers took the sheep and cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order to sacrifice them to the Lord, your God. Verse 22, but Samuel replied, does the Lord delight in your burnt offerings and your sacrifices as much as he does in obeying his voice? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed or to do what God has told you to do is better than the fat of rams, because in those days they would sacrifice animals to God. So what we have here is a story and a picture of a man appointed by God, an incredible king, strong king, that started well but finished badly. He started in obedience to God, but if you continue to read that story, he finished in disobedience to God's will. So the last couple of weeks, Tony's been talking about miracles, and in particular making room in your mind for a miracle. If we're going to make room for a miracle in our mind, then what we need to do is we need to clean out some of the clutter that we have there, some of the things that we have gathered over time in order for God to be able to do something. In order for our minds to be able to say, you know what, I can believe God for that and I'm going to believe God for that. We've got to change some mindsets and some of our behaviour and let God do something great. It's what we do in our own homes. Like if you've got new stuff you're bringing in, you go to the cupboard and you clean it out and you clean out all the old clutter and you clean out stuff that is not serving you well anymore and get rid of it and you put the new thing in. So a miracle mindset requires motion. It requires movement. Without movement, without you making a choice to move from where you've been, whether it's in your walk with God or your relationships, whether it's your finances, whether it's your emotional world, nothing's going to change. No matter how much you want it to, because change doesn't come because you want it to, or even that you ask God if you're not prepared to take some steps to move forward. Your face has to have legs. That wouldn't look really good. Your faith must have legs. Brad just started laughing at that, so he must have just got it. And we have to make a choice to move forward. Faith moves forward. So what I want to talk to you primarily about today are miracle mindset invaders, like a space invader. Who's old enough to remember Space Invaders as an arcade game? There's not many here that remember that, but I do. And it was an arcade game and the little alien things would invade the territory of space or whatever, and you had to shoot them down and you had to get rid of them because they were encroaching on a territory that they shouldn't be in. So I want to talk to you this morning about miracle mindset invaders. Miracle mindset invader number one. And this is what we see in Saul's life. The first one was distraction. Saul started in obedience, like I said before, but he ended up in disobedience, and it all began with being distracted. It all began with distraction. He took the men, started to do what God had told him to do, was doing an incredible job, but then was distracted from the mission that God had put on him to do. His focus then became misaligned. His focus, instead of being on what God had told him to do to completely destroy the Amalekites, he took his mind off that, and his mind began to wander, and he began to look at all the other things around about him. Wow. Look at, and it says earlier in the verses, they took the sheep and the goats and the cows and anything else that looked good, they took. And also he took King Agag. Saul began to exchange God's plan for his own. Ever been there? Ever sort of, you know, God's spoken to you about something and you got a bit distracted along the way, and before you know it, you love God and all that, but you're actually in distraction and actually doing your own thing. Galatians 5:7, this is an incredible scripture. And it says this: you were running the race so well, who has held you back from obeying the truth? That is such a powerful, powerful scripture. So this is my question for you. Question number one: who or what has become your hindrance to obeying God's voice? Who or what have you allowed to distract you from obeying what God has said to you? Is your focus misaligned? Were you there? Were you originally starting out, but then all of a sudden you've been distracted? Are you busy being distracted and looking at things around about you? Are you distracted by your circumstance? It could be very bad. And I understand it's easy to get distracted, been there many times. Is it a relationship problem that you're distracted with? Is it your financial pressure that you're distracted with? Is it your health? Have you stopped looking at Jesus and stopped pursuing what God put on your life? Is your mind so cluttered and overwhelmed by these things and invaded that you have stopped believing that God could ever change anything? You've stopped believing and stopped having a mindset for a miracle. If you or if I are going to make room for miracles, it will begin with getting our focus back in the right place. I don't know if any of you have ever seen the movie The Shack. Has anybody seen that? It's a Christian movie. If you've not seen it, it will mess with your mind. It will mess you up big time if you watch it to the end. Anyway. But in one scene there, they have uses different analogies for things, but there's one scene where the person in it that is a representation of Jesus, and the guy that the story is about is on a river in a boat, and then all of a sudden it's like some sort of vision thing, and he's sinking, and it's so incredibly dark and it's so incredibly horrible that he is just beside himself, and the guy that, you know, that is a representation of Jesus is standing there, and the guy's looking around, and he's about to sink, and the water's pouring in, and he's panicking. Have you ever panicked?
Yeah.
You ever panicked in a situation? And the guy's standing there, and he keeps saying, "Look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me." And the guy looks at him, and it begins to settle, and then all of a sudden he starts looking down again because it gets so gravely bad. And the guy keeps going, "Come on, look at me, look at me, look at me." When we get distracted, we take our focus off Jesus. If your focus is now in the wrong place and not on Jesus, and we don't correct it, then what happens is your vision becomes distorted. You begin to see things not clearly. You know, everything's out of focus. It's like if I take my glasses off, I can see people down there, but I won't read anything. I can't read anything. One of the joys of getting older, I think. So don't allow distraction to take your focus. My number two, Miracle Mindset Invader. Number two, there's only four, so you won't be here too long today. And then we're going to believe for God to do some things. My number two invader, space invader, if you like, is accumulation. So it says in those passages that Saul and the people spared King Agag, spared the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. Says they would not utterly destroy them. Saul and his distraction began to pick up things that should have been destroyed. The picking up of excess baggage or accumulation in your mind, in your spirit, in your heart, and for Saul, the picking up of this plunder, all the stuff he began to gather that God had said destroy, and it's like, well, you know, I'll do this, but you know, I'm just going to take a bit of that. I'm just going to keep that. The excess baggage that he picked up would eventually lead to him losing the throne. So when we allow distraction to get into our mind, and we then begin to pick up some stuff, I'm just going to put on some accumulation. So now I'm all set. I've picked up and I've accumulated some things along the way. When we allow distraction in, we then begin to pick up baggage and we start to accumulate things. All sorts of things in our life, on our journey, that begin to hinder our moving forward. And they begin to invade our heart and they begin to invade our mind. And when we first pick them up, we can even sort of feel a bit justified in picking them up. But after a while, when you carry it for a long time, it's going to get very heavy. My second question to you is, hang on, I've just got to fix my sleeve. Feels a bit weird, so it's stuck. Okay, that's better. So my question to you this morning is, what have you picked up that God has said to you to put down? What things along your journey? What things has God said to you, you need to put that down? You need to destroy that. You need not carry that anymore. There's lots of different things that can hinder. And Hebrews 12:1 says, "So we must let go of every wound that's pierced us and the sin we so easily fall into. Then we'll be able to run the race of life with passion and determination for the path that has already been marked out before us. Excess baggage and accumulation will weigh you down, and it's very hard to run a race with extra weight." Sometimes we can think that, and I think for me this has been true, I'd like to say, well, I don't really want to say more than one time, but it has, that if I let go of this, if I let go of that, then, you know, I've lost control and I don't win. So what is it that you need to let go of? I mean, it could be, I don't know, it could be some sin. It's like, we don't like that word these days. But it could be sin. It could be something you're doing that you know, whether it's little or big, that you know God has said, you know what, you need to lay that down. It could be betrayal. Maybe somebody betrayed you, betrayed your trust. Maybe somebody did something that really hurt you a lot, and you've carried that, and you've carried the weight of it for so long, you don't even know how to operate without it. And it's almost like, well, if I put that down, then the person wins. There's another one down there I missed. Maybe it's rejection. Maybe some stuff has happened in your life that has caused your rejection. Oh, thanks, Renee, that's great. Maybe you'd suffer with rejection and stuff that's happened, and you're like, I don't know what to do with that. God says, you know what, if you give that to me, I'll be able to take that weight and you can live free. Maybe it's worry. This is a really big one. People don't think of worry as a sin a lot of times. But worry is a sin because it causes your focus to be misaligned. Not sure how many more I've got in here. Let's have a look. Shame. Maybe it's shame. Maybe you need to put down shame and realise that you don't have to carry shame for whatever's happened in your life. When you come to Jesus, he took all that shame. He took everything on the cross. I'll just pull a few more out of my bag. Maybe it's regret. Maybe you're thinking, you know, this stuff happened in my life and I shouldn't have done this and this and this and this. And you know what? The thing the devil loves the most is to keep you in the past and keep you regretting and keep you going back to the I should not have, when Jesus says, you know what? Come to me. I've already paid for that. I can set you free from that. Maybe it's just pain. Pain of the past. Pain of other people's opinions, pain of whatever it is. We all deal with hurt and pain, and God says, you know what, you need to lay it down. Maybe it's pride. What a horrible word. And we're also guilty of it in so many ways. Maybe we've forgotten how to really humble ourselves before God and say, you know what, God, I'm sorry. Maybe we've forgotten how to humble ourselves in front of people and say to somebody, you know, I'm sorry. What's the last one? Offence. That's what I was just talking about. Ever been offended? Put your hand up if you've been offended. If somebody doesn't put their hand up, I'm sorry, but you're a super liar, pants on fire. So excess baggage in your mind that we carry will, you know, clutter up your mind. I can't get this off now. Hang on. And confuse you and conflict you. Don't hold on anymore. Put it at the foot of the cross. Don't hold on to those things any longer, because God's shoulders are bigger and they are broader to be able to carry it so that you don't have to. When you put it down, oh, the weight, the lightness. When you surrender those things to God, how incredible is that to be free? So give it to God and don't hold it. You'll never lose out. You know, sometimes we can think if I lay it down, then, you know, the person gets away with it or whatever. No, God's actually saying to you, I've been waiting all this time for you to release that to me, to release that offence, the shame, whatever it is, because now you give me permission to do something in your life. Okay, miracle mindset invader number three. Second last one. You doing okay? These are incredible things, really, because each one of these that I speak to you today, you know, God has either has done in my life or is still doing. Because each person here is probably at one of these stages somewhere with things in your life. I don't think you're ever totally like, you know, I've nothing to work on. So number three, invader number three, is accusation or blame. In verse 21, I'll just read, it's not up there, but I'll read it to you. And this is what Saul says. He says, but the people took from the spoil of the sheep and the oxen, the chief of things to be utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord your God at Gilgal. Earlier in the chapter, when Saul first comes to him and sort of, you know, says to him, you know, what are you doing? Like, what's all this stuff that you've brought back? Sorry, just don't want to cough into the microphone. And he says, well, myself and the people, we brought it all back. But now that it's gone along a bit and Samuel's really called him out on some stuff, have you ever had somebody, a really good person, a really good friend or something like that, really call you out on something? And I've had that. And you actually are not happy they've called you out on it and challenging you over something. So you begin to make excuses. And this is what Saul does. When Saul was confronted by Prophet Samuel about his disobedience, he then began to blame the soldiers for all the plunder that had been brought back, for the fact that they did not destroy everything that God had said and commanded them to do. The thing is, the soldiers only did what he commanded them to do. He's the king. So when we shift blame or play the blame game, we play the victim. When there's things in our life and we play the blame game, we play the victim. When we have a victim mentality in our mind, we don't make room for God to change the circumstance or for God to do a miracle. Ever blamed? Like, it's not my fault. Blah, 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 blah. You know, if they hadn't done that or said that, then I wouldn't, whatever. No. It's easier to blame our upbringing for the way we are. It's easier to blame a hurtful experience or painful experience or a person or a relationship or a betrayal, whatever it is. It's your fault that you picked up the baggage. It's you that picked it up. They may have presented it for you. It's you that went and picked it up. It's me that went and picked it up and decided that we'd carry that around. If we want to see God move on our behalf, I know this for me, so many times, it's like, but God, you don't understand, you know, this, this and this and this. You don't understand, you know. You go on. Got to take responsibility for our own mindset. We have to take responsibility now for where we are in our life. And like I said, these things may have been presented to us, these things, it may be the truth that this has happened, that's happened, and those things may not have been fair. Those things may have been unfair or hurtful or whatever. It's up to us, though, whether we go and pick up and think, yeah, well, I'll just take up that offence and carry that. I'll just take up, you know, shame because I'm ashamed of my past. Like, I'll do these things. Take responsibility for your own mindset. Remember, a miracle mindset requires motion, which is what I said before. So how do we stop playing the blame game then? If you're in this stage where you realise, you know what, I do that. I'm always making excuses for why I am where I'm at or why I'm thinking like this or why I'm reacting or why I'm wherever. This is the secret. Romans 12, chapter 2 says, don't copy the behaviour and customs of this world, but let God, the word there, did I put it in yellow? Oh, I didn't. The word there, let. It's really up to you what you let God do. God wants to transform your thinking. It says, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Herein is the decision that has to be made to let God. Take responsibility to start moving forward. Take responsibility for your own mindset. And let God change the way you think His word is the best place to start. Change the way that you're thinking. Change the woe is me, it's everybody else's fault thing going on. Change your talk about yourself. How do you talk about yourself? Oh, I'm just nothing. I'll never amount. I'll never whatever. You know, I can't do this. I can't do that. What does his word say about you? What are you doing with your talk? Change your walk. What things are you doing that are keeping you back? What behaviours are you doing? What behaviours am I doing, you know, that keep us back from the miracle that God wants to do and take us out of position? Okay, number four, last one. Everyone's like, yeah. This is the last one. The last one is disconnection or separation. This is a miracle mindset invader. The last one is the disconnection that happens. Samuel says to Saul, has the Lord as great a delight in your offerings and, you know, your rams and stuff like that than he does in obeying my voice? To obey is better than all the sacrifices and lambs that you're going to do and sacrifice to me. What I need is your obedience. And Brad said that this morning, obedience and sacrifice. You know, obedience first, always. Saul was now at a point where he was actually disconnected and separated from the plan of God. But he still believed he was doing what the Lord had said. So he said to Samuel, but I have done it. I have done what the Lord said to me to do. Look, I killed all these. Oh, but I just brought back this and I brought back that and blah, blah, blah. He was deceived. He'd come to the point and he'd gone through the distraction and the accumulation and then, oh, well, you know, this is because, and the accusation, and now he was disconnected from God. Did you know something? It's possible to be a Christian. It's possible in your journey to still be going to church, even serving in the church, taking up offerings or doing whatever you're doing, and actually be disconnected from God's plan because you're just going through the motions. And you can be actually disconnected from God and you don't even really know it. You still believe that what you're doing is right. When God's like, hello, I'm here, look up here. Saul was in disobedience to God, but he'd convinced himself that he'd carried out his plan and was now living in disobedience. Obedience to God's voice is worth more to God than all of, as much as this is important, and like Brad said today, you know, with the giving and our offerings and our serving and all the things that we do in church life are incredibly important. Absolutely, for sure. But obedience to God's voice is worth more than that. Like, all those things are great, but if that's all you do and you're not listening and you're not connecting with God and saying, God, you know, work on my life, deal with my life, put myself before you. Like, if you're not doing that and you're just doing that, this is what the scripture is saying, is I need your obedience first. His plan and obedience to that plan, to his plan for your life, is what brings the supernatural into our life, is what brings us into like a miracle zone, brings us into a position where we can receive miracles. It's obeying what he has said to us that puts us in that position. Disconnection from God's plan will separate you from God's destiny. Psalm 119, and we're just about finished here, 34 says, give me understanding, so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. As Tony said in the first part of the series, and he was talking about how Jesus' mum had gone to Jesus and said, you know, we're at the wedding and the wine's running out. Jesus, the wine's running out. And, you know, Jesus is like, well, what do you want me to do? And then the mother turns to the servants and says, you know, whatever he says to you, please just do it. Whatever he says, just do it. This is my last question for you today. What has God spoken to you to do that you're not yet doing? I think Tony actually put that in one of his earlier ones. But what has God spoken to you to do that you've not yet done? Or what has God spoken to you not to do that you are still doing. It goes both ways. Are you in the Christian walk and life and in church life and go through the motions, but you're actually nowhere near God's plan for you because you've not been listening? You've not been listening and obeying and then letting God work on you. But instead, like Saul, you might have started well. Yeah, you know, worship God and walk with God and do this and do that. And somewhere along the line, you're now sort of outworking your own plan. It happens. So in conclusion today, could the musicians come up, but you're already there. So how incredible are they? They're fantastic. So let's position ourselves this morning for a miracle. Let's clear out some of the invaders that we have in our mindset and make room for God to do a miracle. Maybe you've been distracted, at number one point, and you need to get your focus back. It starts with looking at Jesus. Maybe in your journey you've accumulated stuff, just some baggage that you need to let go of, that you need to throw down and say, God, I don't want to carry that anymore, I'm sick of it. You know what, you'll never throw it down until you get totally sick of it. You've got to get to the point where you're like, you know what, I've said this so many times in my life, I'm sick of this. I'm sick of thinking like this. I'm sick of this affecting me. You've got to get to the point where you're so sick of it that you lay it at God's feet and say, that's it, I'm done. And then God's like, finally, finally, we're waiting for you to do that so I can actually do something in your life. Or maybe it's you need to stop blaming, you know, everything else or circumstances or people for where your mindset's at, and you need to take responsibility and let God do a mindset change. Maybe you sort of actually find yourself a bit disconnected with God. You're actually here in the house most times and you're sort of going through the motions, but you've sort of realised that, you know, God's plan's actually over here and I'm a bit over here and a bit separated. It's difficult doing these things. It's difficult to lay things down. It's difficult to own. It's difficult to own, I think, is the word I'm looking for. It's really hard sometimes to own and say, yep, you know what? I picked up the baggage. You know what? I'm the one thinking this way. I'm the one carrying it and continuing to carry. It's difficult to lay it down. It's not easy, but it's necessary. And we're in this place today, and we are in an atmosphere of a God who wants to do miracles. And some of the biggest miracles that he can do is on your mind and on the way that you think. And I know for me, that has been so true in my life, is that the biggest hindrance to me has been my thinking. Whatever stage you're at, and we've all been at every stage that I've mentioned today, at some time in our life, or we're in one of those stages maybe now. But the good news is you don't have to stay there. Why don't you stand this morning? Could I just get you to move all my junk there? Just so that nobody slips on it. Okay. And before we sing this song, I just want you to open your heart. And we're going to open the altar here. Not so that you think, oh, well, if I go out, people are going to think I'm distracted or I'm going to listen to that. No. We actually want to position ourselves for a miracle. We want to position ourselves for God to do something incredible in our life. And so I just want you to lean in. So as the musos sing, as we begin to sing, if it's in your heart and you want to, come forward. You know, sometimes there's got to be an action, and it's not about getting people at the front, but sometimes I know for me, you know, God is really speaking something in me that I need to do or something I need to change. And by that act of walking out, it's me saying, yes, God, I'm moving forward. And I'm going to do that. So let's sing and let's just worship God. If you want to come, come. And let's just reach out, God. I'm not going to get the team to pray for anything like that or ask you what you've come for. It's you and God. And let's worship God.